Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Today, we're going to start with a singing detective. That's Richard Diamond, Private Eye. This one's called The Butcher Shop, and it's from 1951.
The makers of Camel Cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Other cigarette has Camel's rich, full flavor, the flavor of Camel's costly tobaccos.
And no other cigarette gives you this proof of mildness. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Make a note. Think of your throat. Try Camels. Here transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Now, in my business, I run into a lot of people, make a few friends, and a lot of enemies. I remember a few weeks ago when one of those friends walked all the way over from 31st Street to tell me about his trouble and leave me a share of it. His name is Angelino Giuseppe, and he runs a butcher shop. Little guy with a big, broad stomach and a smile to match. I met him when I was on the force. Used to stop in and buy some cold cuts or a pound of bacon. I liked his smile, and I always hung around for one of his bad jokes. But when he came into my office that afternoon, pushing his big stomach in front of him, I spotted trouble right away. The smile was gone. Well, well, Angelino.
Hello, Mr. Diamond.
Haven't seen you in a long time. Come stai?
Sto male.
Yeah, I can tell. Oh, what's the trouble? The pig's knuckles got arthritis?
Pig's knuckles?
That's better now. That's more like my answer.
You always kidding. You make it easy to smile.
Yeah. Accetti.
Grazie.
All right, Angie, let's have it. What's wrong?
Well, I'm going to ask you to do something, but I can't pay you.
We'll talk about it later.
You can take it out in a trade.
That'll run into a lot of ham hocks, Angelino.
Well, I want to pay you.
Well, I can always throw a barbecue. Now tell me about it.
Well, you see, it's like this. I come to you as a sort of a representative from all the other butcher shops, the independent ones.
I see.
I ain't the only one that's worried, so all the butchers got together last night and decided to do something about it.
All of the independent butcher shops?
That's right. Every week, a couple of guys come around and collect. Now, if we don't pay, we get our shops bust up, and if that ain't enough, we get our heads bust too. Look, see? I still got 3 stitches right here in the top of my head.
Oh, I see. That's a nice job. Doctor must have used a loom.
Well, I got this last week when these 2 guys came for the money. I couldn't pay, so one of them hit me with a blackjack.
Oh, that's too bad. What about the law, Angelino? That'd give you the right kind of protection.
Well, we discussed that at the meeting, but we decided it was too dangerous. We've been warned. If we go to the police, we get hurt bad. Well, we all got families, Mr. Diamond. We can't take the chance.
Now, have the 2 men who beat you up been back?
No, but they will be.
Okay, let's go.
Well, we're going someplace?
Yep, we are going someplace. You don't know it, Angie, but you just hired yourself a new assistant.
I have?
You certainly have. Come on, I want you to show me how to carve a lock. Well, that's what happens when your reputation gets around the butcher shops. I'd been telling Angelino what a great detective I was for the past 10 years, but I should have known he'd never take my word for it, so I had to prove it. We went out, grabbed a cab, and 15 minutes later, I was standing behind the butcher shop counter. Angelino handed me a white apron.
I don't get it. Why you want to be a butcher?
Angie, you want me to get a line on these guys who do the collecting, don't you?
Why, sure.
Well, I can only think of two ways. I could watch them and not look suspicious. Make like a butcher, or crawl in with the ground round.
Crawl in.
Think of what would happen if someone looked down for the price of ground round and caught it staring back at them.
It's Callista, that's funny.
Oh, now, come on, Angie. It wasn't that funny.
Well, customer.
Nothing like learning firsthand. Let me handle the sale.
Well, you think you can?
Sure. Here she comes.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Hennessy.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Angelino. Well, business must be good. I see you have a new butcher.
Oh, yes. Mr.
Hangtooth.
Mr. Hangtooth.
Hangtooth?
Good morning, Mrs. Hennessy. Is something I can do for you?
Oh, yes. How much is the lamb shoulder today?
Which one?
What?
Look, maybe you better let me...
Relax, Angie. I'll make it. Which shoulder would you like, Mrs. Hennessy?
Is there a difference, young man?
Oh, yes. You see, this lamb here is really a ram.
A ram?
That's right. Hurt his shoulder playing against the Cardinals last season. We're also selling his shoulder pads at 21 cents a pound.
Mr. Angelino!
You'll find him hanging in the back with the spare ribs. Now, Mrs. Hennessy, if you can tell me which shoulder you want, I'll wrap it up and send it off tackle between the liver and the...
Well, I never...
Of course you haven't. That's the trouble with you people. Here's a nice little ram that played his heart out. Oh, by the way, the heart is special today, 11 cents a pound. Angie.
She's gone, huh?
Like laundry in a tornado.
But what do you want to do that for, Mr. Diamond? She was one of my best customers.
I wanted to get her out of here. I wanted to get her out in a hurry. Just as she came in, I spotted two guys heading this way. When they saw her, they backed off. Look, they're standing across the street right now.
Where?
Right over there. You see them? In front of the drugstore.
Yeah. That's them.
It is?
They're the ones that hit me. They're the ones that come around collecting.
Well, they're coming again. You better duck. I'll take care of it.
Well, listen, please, you be careful. They're pretty rough monkeys.
Go on, Angie, and beat it. They're almost here.
All right. I'll be in the back.
Okay. How mile can a cigarette be? Make the camel 30-day test on you. Well, good morning, gentlemen. What can I do for you?
Hey, where's Angelino?
Oh, well, he's out buying some old buffalo. I'm the new assistant.
Buffalo?
Shut up. Well, tell me, new assistant, when'll he be back?
Well, it's hard to say, gentlemen. These buffalo are in Wyoming.
Oh, yeah? Carl, I think this guy's trying to be funny.
You, my friend, wend yourself a lamb chop. How'll you have it, with or without the bloomers?
Hey, you know something, Red? I think you're right. Hey, what's your name, laughing boy?
Hangtooth.
Hangtooth?
Oh, I'm going to have more fun with that. Blows everybody.
Well, look, Hangtooth, you know who we are?
How many guesses?
You won't need even one. We're in a hurry. We're collectors.
Oh, well, we put all the scraps out and back in a can. You can't miss it.
I don't like you.
Well, I have a friend. Maybe we could double date.
Look, let's stop the clowning. If Angelina didn't tell you about us, it's going to be too bad for you. We're here for some money. We get every week $25.
Yeah, last week Angelino didn't have it, so he accidentally hit his head. We figured that all that blood would make him remember it this week.
Well, I'm sorry, friend, but Angie didn't say anything about it. Tell me, what does he pay you boys for?
Oh, little things. Protection, mostly. You see, if he paid us last week, he wouldn't have hit his head.
You know something? I know a big, fat cop who would just love to hear all about this protection Angie's paying you for.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I do, huh?
Well, look. Seeing as how you're a new boy around here, maybe we ought to tell you first.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah, let's go in the back.
I like it here. I listen better.
Oh, you do, huh?
Is that all you guys can say? Now get out from behind that counter.
I want to explain the thing to you.
Yeah, Go on, Red. Explain it to Mr. Hangtooth.
Hangtooth?
You'll have to pardon him. He don't hear so well. How's your hearing, Hangtooth?
Depends on what I'm listening to.
Well, listen to this real good. Seeing as how you're working for Angelino, you're going to need protection, too. So let's have the $25.
I want to know what I'm buying.
Oh, sure.
Hey, let me hit him this time. Hey, a rough one.
Yeah, you're bleeding.
Yeah. Want to get rough, Hangtooth?
Hey, you're liable to kill him.
Yeah.
Let him alone. Hey, we better get out of here.
Yeah. We'll come back for Angelino later.
Well, you really can't blame brave little old me for going to sleep at that point. One, I could have handled. But in that cramped space behind the counter, with both of them coming from different directions, I had to give it up sooner or later. And I did for about 20 minutes. When I finally snapped out of it, I looked up and saw three heads staring down at me. Two herring with Angelino in the middle.
Mr. Diamond, you're right.
Oh, lovely.
Here, let me help you get up.
Swell. Now, look for my eyes, will you, Angie?
I didn't know what to do. I guess I should have called the police.
Oh, find time to tell me. Let me sit down.
When I thought about calling the police, I also thought about my family. Those two men might beat up my family just like this.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Mr. Diamond, please, you better forget about this. It's too dangerous. When they come back, I'll pay them the money and nobody gets hurt.
Look, Angie, I can understand why you're scared. Those two headhunters aren't kidding, but you can't let them get away with it.
I can and I will. I ain't taking no more chances. First they bust up my shop, and then they bust up me, and now you. No thanks. I got enough.
Okay, Angie, but not me.
What are you going to do?
Well, I got a sore face and a nasty disposition. I won't get back to normal until I find those two guys and tie their necks in a bow. I left Angelino's shop and headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station. I wanted to look up two sure bets for the police gallery. One named Carl and the other Red. Two guys who went around scaring poor little businessmen like Angelino. By the time I reached the station, the aches from the beating were making me very unhappy. And when I walked into the squad room, I spotted something that didn't make things any better.
Yeah, what are you... Holy cow, Diamond.
Well, Sergeant Otis, I'm glad you noticed. Means I put myself together all right.
What happened to you?
Don't be silly. I always bleed just before lunch.
Well, how did it happen?
It wasn't easy. Is the lieutenant in?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, thanks. Say, Otis, when are you going to start shaving in the morning?
Why? What's wrong?
Your 5 o'clock shadow is 4 hours fast.
Oh.
How are you, Walt?
Wow. What hit you?
Well, the bruises show up. I come on in Technicolor.
Someone sure did a good job.
Yeah. That someone is two guys, Walt. One named Red and the other Carl.
Red and Carl.
Yeah. I got closest to Red. Name matches the hair, busted nose, about 190, very nasty with a sap.
And Carl?
Dark, greasy, well-dressed if you like the type. Big boy with a scar under his right eye. I gave Walt the complete descriptions and briefed him on what had happened in Angelino's shop. We went down to the mug file and started going through pictures. 20 minutes and 8 dozen charming photographs later, I found what I was looking for. I showed them to Walt, and he said... Now, you know him?
Yeah, Carl Tate and Red Dillon. Here's the package. Dozen arrests, half a dozen convictions between them.
Very impressive.
Couple of muscle men. What do they go after you for?
I've been pulling a protection racket on some of the independent butcher shops. Who do they work for?
He used to work for Jack Arno before he got sent up.
I know they're not working this setup alone. It's too big.
No, they wouldn't be. Hey, Tiny Easter's in town.
Tiny Easter? Oh, used to be Arno's right-hand boy.
That's right. Came in about a month ago. I'd love to get something on him. Nobody's ever been able to nail him.
Well, it adds up. Easter worked for Arno, and so did Carl Tate and Red Dillon.
Well, we can't pick him up just because two of his boys worked you over. He'd just say they weren't his boys.
I don't want him picked up. I want Carl and Red. If Easter goes along with the deal, you can have him.
What are you going to do?
Get cleaned up and pay Mr. Tiny Easter a visit. What's his address?
He's got an office on East 48th Street, 804.
Thanks, Walt.
Tiny's a bad boy.
I'll take along my .38 just in case I have to spank him. I left Walt, went back to my office, took a clean shirt out of the closet, washed up. Locked up again, went down to the street. I grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was standing in the reception room of Tiny Easter's office. A big guy with a bulge under his arm was trying to be as unreceptive as possible.
So you want to see Easter? You have an appointment?
No, I haven't got an appointment. Now tell Easter I'm out here.
What's your name?
Oh, you're going to get hung up on this.
What do you mean?
The name's Hangtooth.
What?
I see. Now make like an office boy and tell Easter I got a message for him from Carl and Red.
You're a pretty fresh guy, aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm going to spoil if I have to stand around much longer.
You can spoil rotten for all I care. You're not going to see Easter. He's busy.
Okay. You know, you get so excited, you'll ruin your stomach someday.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't, huh? Skeptic.
What are you on?
I'm collecting scalps.
How'd you get by a lefty?
He's tied up with a stomach ache, swallowed a fist.
Okay, so you got muscles. Also, you got a pushed-in face. Lefty do that?
Carl Tate and his blood brother, Red.
Oh? What you come to me for?
They're working for you, aren't they?
You smell like a cop.
Name's Hangtooth.
I doubt it.
And good for you. I'd hate to go through that again. I'm a private cop.
Well, now, good for you.
I was in a butcher shop when your two boys wandered in and started playing squash with me. I don't like to get pushed around, Easter, and I don't like your racket. I want Carl and Red, and if I get you along with them, the state will hang a medal on me.
Looks like you got nothing to lose.
Now look at it any way you like. Now, what about your two playmates?
I don't know what you're talking about, Shamus. Never heard of those two guys.
I don't think you understand, Tiny. I'm pretty mad. I'm going to find these two guys, and I'm going to do it even if I have to be unpleasant with you.
Just what do you mean by unpleasant, Mr. Hangtooth?
You break a leg, that's unpleasant. Ow! Don't try to pull a gun on me.
You busted my hand. Take your foot off.
Drop the gun in the drawer. Okay.
My hand's busted.
I'll take the hand out empty.
Oh.
Now, let me explain it again. If you go out and shoot 12 people tomorrow, I'm going to be sore about it. But when you start intimidating a bunch of hard-working little guys and their families, I go off like a skyrocket. And then when a couple of your cheap gunsels push me around, I explode.
I tell you, I don't know this guy.
Oh!
Look, Easter, please believe me.
I don't know them.
You worked with him in Chicago.
Ah!
I'm telling you the truth, Easter. I'll work you over till you look like an eggplant in a subway.
Look, whatever your name is, I got boys. They'll take care of you.
Who's going to tell them to do it?
I am.
With your jaw broken?
Oh!
Now, where do I find Carl and Red?
Oh, you knock all my teeth loose.
I got 31 to go. I guess you really don't understand.
Yes, I understand. Oh.
Now, where are they? You still need some encouragement?
No, in the warehouse by the 14th Street docks.
What warehouse?
Rogers and Sons. Big sign on the top.
You mind if I use your phone?
Go ahead.
Don't you know it's not polite to listen, Easter?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Go to sleep.
No!
Before we continue with Richard Diamond, here are a few words about smoking enjoyment.
More people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
That's right. More people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Behind Camel's great popularity are the two things that mean steady smoking enjoyment: flavor and mildness.
No other cigarette has the rich, full flavor of Camel's costly tobaccos. Tobaccos that are properly aged and expertly blended.
And no other cigarette gives you this proof of mildness.
in a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Make your own Camel 30-day test, the sensible test, based not on a puff or a sniff, but on day-in, day-out smoking. You'll see how flavorful Camels are and how well Camels get along with your throat pack after pack.
How mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30-day test and you'll see.
Smoke Camels and see.
And now back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
I put in a call to Walt and told him what had happened. He said he'd send a couple of men down to pick up Easter and agreed to meet me at the warehouse. It was getting late in the afternoon when my cab pulled up near the river and I got out. The cold breeze was kicking up little patches of white on the water, and the light fog was moving in from the Atlantic as I started down toward a big building with a sign on the top that read, Rogers & Sons Importing. The place was boarded up, but a window in the basement showed signs of recent use, so I jimmied it open and dropped down on the dark, cold pavement. I held my breath and listened. The place was as quiet as a tomb, so I moved across the room until I found a flight of stairs and went up to the main floor. I opened a door and listened again.
It sure is getting cold in here.
Yeah.
How long are we going to have to stay here?
Till Easter tells us to leave. Now relax.
It was Carl and Red, all right. They were somewhere in the warehouse, so I kept on my toes and moved as quietly as possible toward the voices.
You want to play some cards or something?
Yeah, it's okay with me.
I don't know why we got to hide out like this.
Because Easter said to, that's why. We got to stay cool till he finds out about that guy we worked over this morning.
Hagtooth?
Yeah, might have been a cop.
So what? We were cops over before. I'm cold.
Look, just steal the cards and... Yeah? What? He did, huh? Hey! Hey, what's the matter? Boss! Hey!
What's the matter?
I don't know. That was Easter. The guy we worked over was in his office, tied him up. He got loose, but the guy's headed down here.
Hagtooth?
Yeah. Just as Easter was going to say what to do, sound like he got in a fight.
The cops?
Yeah. I think we better get out of here.
Afternoon, boy.
Huh? Hagtooth.
Hangtooth. Come back here, Carl.
Help me.
You shouldn't have pulled a gun, Red.
Since when do you butchers carry rods?
Since we get pushed around by guys like you.
You're the doctor. I'm shot mad.
I can't take it back. They'll all be here in a minute.
You're a lousy butcher. I hope Carl pays you good.
I'll see that he gets the chance to try. I left Red lying on his face and ran toward the front of the building. The only way out was that window in the back, and Carl was sure to be hiding somewhere in the dark, hoping to get around me and head for the basement. There were a dozen places to hide in that warehouse, but I had one advantage. He couldn't see me any better than I could see him. I stopped and listened. Come on, Carl. Red's hurt pretty bad, and the law's on the way. You gotta get me before you can get out of here. Carl! Come on, Carl, give it up. You're stuck and you know it. Carl! I had his position pretty well spotted. By his gun flashes, I could tell he was edging his way toward another large pile of packing cases. I moved off to my left, still keeping his approximate position in line with my gun barrel. It was my idea to circle him, but something changed my mind. A metal ladder stretched down from the ceiling and led up to a catwalk overhead. I went up, one rung at a time, half turned to keep Carl in line in case he made a break. After what seemed like hours, I reached the catwalk. I started crawling on my hands and knees toward Carl's position. I was nearly over him when I heard the door open.
Rick! Lieutenant?
Yeah?
Here's what
couldn't answer him, and he was heading right for Carl. I kept looking down, hoping Carl would show himself. Walt got nearer, and I held my breath. Just then, Carl stepped out and aimed his gun at him. I beat him to it.
Lieutenant, shut up.
It's okay, Walt. I got him.
Where are you?
I'm up here on the... Oh.
There he is up there. Rick. Good grief.
Yeah, good grief. Get Otis out of here, will you?
What's so funny, Lieutenant? If you knew Otis, you could rib Diamond for the rest of his life.
Yeah? Walt.
Come on, tell me what it is.
Walt?
Okay. Okay. Get out of here, Otis.
Oh, Lieutenant.
You heard him, Otis. Now beat it.
Yeah, go on, Otis.
Oh, gee, Lieutenant, won't you even...
No, he won't. Now you beat it. It's real funny, isn't it?
It sure is.
I just saved your life, and you stand down there, and you... Oh.
Well, don't look down.
Get the fire department.
Don't you ever think about these things before you start climbing ladders?
Well, it was the only way I could get in a position to shoot. I just didn't think.
For a guy who can't stand high places...
Walt...
Well, it's your own fault.
Fault, smalt. Get me down. I'm getting dizzy.
It's only about 50 feet to the floor.
Walt!
Great big boy like you.
If you don't get the fire department...
Okay.
Oh, you big fat ox. I hate you.
Dick Powell will return in just a minute. According to a repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Again, doctors in every branch of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country have been asked what cigarette they smoke. Again, the brand name most was Camel. Friends, make the sensible cigarette test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days, and you'll see why so many people say, once a Camel smoker... always a Camel smoker.
And remember, your best buy is Camels by the carton.
How mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild can a cigarette be? Take the Camel 30-day test and you'll see.
Smoke Camels and see.
Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, many men who have served valiantly in our armed forces are hospitalized. And as a tribute, the makers of Camels send them gift cigarettes to hospitals in the country and overseas. This week's Camels go to Veterans Hospitals, Dallas, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona, U.S. Naval Hospital, Pensacola, Florida, and to all hospitals operated by the European Command of the U.S. Army. Now, until next week, enjoy Camels. I always do.
Powell can now be seen starring in the RKO film, Cry Danger. Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Blake Edwards with music by Frank Worth. Our director is Helen Mack. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Wilms Herbert, and Arthur Q. Bryan.
Men, whether you buy the handy pocket tin or the big one-pound tin of Prince Albert, you're in for real smoking joy. PA's Choice Tobacco has a rich taste and delightful natural aroma. It's specially treated to ensure against tongue bite. And it's crimp cut for smooth, even, cool smoking. Get Prince Albert, the National Joy Smoke, America's largest selling smoking tobacco.
Listen next week for another exciting transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell.
Coming up, we'll have an episode of The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. But first, let's go to Hothorn Hall and visit with Rochester. From this clip on Jubilee.
Man, we want to take you for a little jive ride that ought to wrinkle the skin on a boiled beef. So climb aboard, and we ride on down through Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, Schenectady, Troy, Albany, Syracuse, Rochester!
Coming, mother!
Well, Rochester? Well, don't stand there glaring at me. Say something.
Fat son of a gun, ain't he? Seriously, Ernest, I came over to Jubilee tonight to remind you about something.
About what?
Do you realize that next week Jubilee is 1 year old?
I do.
Do you realize that Jubilee ought to have a little birthday party?
I do.
Do you realize that you ought to let the fighting men in on what's going to take place?
I do.
Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do. No, no. Don't do that.
Well, tell them what's going to jive out.
Well, men, in honor of Jubilee's first birthday, we're going to bring you a suits on of most of the artists who appeared on the shows to date. There'll be Lena Horne, Louis Armstrong, Jimmy Lunsford, Ethel Waters, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Art Tatum, Cab Calloway, Sister Tharp. The list goes on and on and on. Well, Rochester, what do you say?
Fat son of a gun, ain't he?
Nobody loves a fat man. Oh, well, don't forget Jubilee's first birthday next week, men. Meantime, Rochester, who's that mellow fellow who's been hovering around your left wing for the last couple of clicks on your pocket piece?
Oh, you mean Johnny Taylor. Come here, Johnny.
Yeah, what do you want, Rox?
Say, some of the fellas around here are asking me if you and I couldn't do one of those songs we used to do, you know, a long time ago in Fordville. And I told them I'd call you out here and ask you about it.
Oh, well, certainly that would be fine with me. But look, first, Rox, something been bothering me for a long time, and I've been wanting to ask you.
Well, go ahead. What is it?
Well, now, it's a little personal. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind. What is it?
Well, look, tell me, just how much of that Liberty cabbage does Mr. Bennett pay you every week?
Well, it's roughly about $2,000 a week.
Roughly?
Yeah, but when you smooth it out, it's $30.
Let's sing.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
Waiting for Jane, she's queen of my heart. She rules every part, she's there to remain. As she got that zip, the best that there is, that ought to explain, I'm waiting for Jane. And she loves to do the things I do, what that is you can guess. And when she does the things she does, it makes my know me, yes. So broadcast the news, bring rice and old shoes. Sweet essence of love, I'm waiting for Jane. Still waiting for Jane. Don't bother me now. I'll take a vow, I'll never complain. Ain't singing no blue, I've nothing to lose. But so much to gain, I'm waiting for Jane. Why, it's not her looks, she never cooks an angel in disguise. It's not her walk, it's not her talk, but at loving, she's a prize. She's flagging my train, I'm letting her ride. My conscience, my guide, I'm waiting for Jane.
Tell me, Rutch,
sure has she got a...
No.
Well, does she wear a...
No, but she's got a...
Yeah?
Yeah!
I'm waiting for you. Tell me, boy, does she look like?
Uh-uh.
Well, did you ever see her act like?
Well, not lately, but she loves to...
Yeah!
Yeah!
I'm waiting for you. Say, Roch, I'll buy the girl some hats.
Well, I'll buy her some furs.
Now, you know that should really make that gal look neat.
Yeah, the warm red lips.
Oh, it's tight like that.
And the sidewalk bound to me,
but tell me, Roger, did she ever...
Now, wait a minute, cut that out.
Did you ever?
I should say not, but sometimes she lets me...
Yeah!
Yeah! I'm waiting for you.
Taylor.
Now it's time for The Adventures of Maisie, and we listen to Eddie Jordan, Private Eye, from 1951.
Hiya, babe. Say, how about a little ouch.
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie picture. In just a moment, you'll hear Maisie in radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. But first, your announcer.
Yep, I'm Maisie, like the man just said. Maisie Rivera, Brooklyn. You know, I'm in show business, and it's a wonderful business to be in. At least that's what people who aren't in it tell me. The main difference I notice is that they eat and I don't. Half of the time I'm working at some other kind of a job, so I won't give show business a black eye by starving to death in it. That's the way things are now. Temporarily, I'm sort of a secretary to a man named Simon Potter. The other day, he said he was looking for a private detective, and I recommended my boyfriend, Eddie Jordan. Eddie's a real sweet guy with only one defect. He hates to work. So I gave him a little advice before he went in to see Mr. Potter. Now, remember, Eddie, tell Mr. Potter that you've had plenty of experience as a detective.
Yeah, but Maisie, I don't know a thing about it.
Well, never mind. Be a mysterious type detective. Tell him about some of the cases you worked on.
Gee, Maisie, what cases?
Don't make them up. The case of the two-headed blonde, the case of chicken pox case, and the copper's kipper caper, you know.
Well, I must admit that a two-headed blonde would be a very interesting case. One head could be putting on a fresh lipstick while the other was busy smooching.
Oh, all right. Stop dreaming, Eddie. I'm not going to grow another head just to please you.
Okay, baby.
You can talk tough, can't you?
Well, sure I can, honey pie.
Oh, now, no smoochy talk with Mr. Potter. And remember, you can show him the handcuffs, but don't take the gun out of the holster, or he'll see Hoppy's picture on it. Now, you got it?
Yeah. Okay, sweetheart.
Come on, then. Let's go in. I'll knock on his door.
Come in.
What's with that cute voice? Sounds like you've been taking dictation on his lap.
No, but he's very human, which is more than I can say for you sometimes. Mr. Potter.
Yes?
I got hold of that detective I told you about. This is Eddie Choo-Choo Jordan. And maybe you remember, he used to play halfback out west at the Carlisle University.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Remember the name well. Jordan, yes, Jordan. Hey, why did they call you Choo-Choo?
Well, Mr. Potcher...
Well, it was because he was always in training. He hates to tell anybody he's ashamed of it.
Yeah, well, you don't look very tough, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, he's plenty tough, Mr. Potcher. If anybody wants trouble, he comes from where they make it.
See? Yeah, well, I don't know, Jordan.
Look, sweetheart, I'm the quiet type. I make my play and stick by it. I don't like to bump any heads together unless somebody tries to punch holes in me, see?
That's the way I feel about whatever you said, too.
What kind of a caper is this, Mr. Potcher?
Well, it's not too difficult. I don't think there'll be any fireworks.
Good. Eddie doesn't like to scrag anybody unless it's in self-defense.
See?
What do you call self-defense, Mr. Jordan?
Oh, a guy gives me a funny look, I open up on him, see?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I'll tell you the situation, Jordan. I'm having a wedding out at my house, and I've already hired a detective to watch the wedding presents.
Yeah?
I want you to watch him watching the presents.
I get you, Mr. Potcher. I'm your boy.
How much do you charge a boy?
Well, on a case like that...
Well, I don't think you ought to charge more than $20, Choo-choo.
All right. You got a deal, Mr. Potcher?
Fine. Miss Revere here will give you the address of the house and any other details you need. Be there at 1:00.
I'll be there, Mr. Potcher. Goodbye.
Oh, one more thing, Jordan.
Yeah?
Don't wear a mask.
Wear a mask? I wouldn't do that.
I wasn't too sure. Goodbye.
Maisie. Do you think I overdid it a little bit?
Well, I don't think you should have curled your lip at him so much, but I guess it's all right. I'll call you at the boarding house and give you all the information you need.
Okay, Maisie, and don't worry about me. I'll take care of everything out there.
Good.
Eddie Jordan, private eye. Yeah, I kind of like the idea.
Well, you don't have to overdo that Eddie Robinson bit.
Hey, I thought it sounded pretty natural.
Now, look here, Eddie Jordan. I got this job for one day, so don't let it change your hat size. And stop admiring your reflection in the mirror and fluffing up your muscles.
Eddie Jordan, private eye, not bad. Yeah, I think I'm going to have a ball at that wedding reception. Where is it?
Out on Long Island. There'll be a lot of girls there, so watch your step. I don't want to hear from Mr. Potcher that your private eye had a permanent wink in it.
Don't get fresh, babe, or I'll rough you up.
Oh, get going already, you temporary flatfoot. Take the air.
So long, honey.
How do you like that guy? He thinks he's a detective already.
Oh, Miss Revere.
Oh, yes, Mr. Potcher.
I think I ought to tell you that if anything unpleasant happens at our reception this afternoon, I'll fire you and sue the detective until he's got nothing left but his bridge work.
Oh, well, don't worry, Mr. Potcher. When Maisie Revere recommends somebody, they come through or else.
Or else what?
Or else they don't.
Is that you, Maisie?
Yeah, it's me, Miss Candy.
Well, congratulations. Your boyfriend, Eddie, just told me he went out and got himself a job as a detective.
I know. I got it for him.
Really? He didn't mention that.
I also did all the lying for him. Is he still here?
No, he's already left. My, I'm so happy and excited for him. Now he'll be able to pay me his rent. But what's he doing?
Well, he's sort of a Great Dane for a lot of wedding presents. And he's got to keep an eye on another detective.
Well, that's nice. But there's one flaw in it.
I know. Nobody to watch Eddie.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he might make a good detective at that. You should see the way he can frisk my refrigerator for cold cuts.
I have, many a time. You know, Mrs. Kennedy, maybe I shouldn't have pushed Eddie into that job. I'm a little worried about him.
Oh, I wouldn't worry. Just ask yourself, is he trustworthy, capable, and intelligent?
No, but he's lovable.
Well, if there's anything to those detective stories I read, being lovable is a great help.
Yeah, there never seems to be any shortage of women in those stories. And usually they're luscious redheads.
Yes, and you're a blonde.
Yeah. You know, I think I'd better go out there and just make sure Eddie doesn't get things all messed up.
Oh, if you do, he won't like it.
But he'll never know I'm there. I'll put on a heavy veil and a heavy accent and pretend I'm a widow. That ought to keep him from knowing me.
It won't keep him from noticing you.
Well, that's all the better. Maybe the young widow can find out what Eddie thinks about Maisie Revere. Quite a crowd. Uh-oh, this must be the other detective. I say, dear chap, could you tell me what the wedding gifts are?
Oh, sure, I'd be glad to tell you. Wow!
Really? What direction is that?
Well, you go through that door and... Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. No, you get down this hall and... Hey, gee, what a day, what a dame. Or maybe you should go upstairs and...
And I know it's terribly vulgar to point, old fellow, but I wish you would. There's no point in your standing here looking at me with your eyes rolled back.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. Looking at you is more fun than I've had in weeks.
Well, do hurry up and finish. I really can't stay here forever, don't you know?
If you do, the party will move out here.
Hey, who's the lady with the black mosquito net over her puss?
Please, Junior, don't be unrespectful to the lovely dame. This is the son of the man who owns this dump.
Just call me Hopalong Potter.
Oh, how do you do, Hoppy?
Would you like to play games with me?
Hey, just a minute, Shorty, just a minute. I want to play games with her, too.
Shut up, partner. I'll fill you so full of lead you'll make pencil marks when you sit down.
Oh, I'll wager he's been reading those frightfully jolly comic books.
You got it, sister.
Well, what game did you want to play, Hopalong?
Well, we're going to steal the silver bullion from the bad guys and hide it in the old mine shaft.
Oh, well, how perfectly delightful. Well, run along now. There's a good lad, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay. What's your name?
My name is Lady Mesa Revere, but you can call me Tex.
Okay, Tex. So long, partner.
Kitty, old little pal.
Gee, so your name is Lady Revere, eh? Hey, my name is Harry Harrigan. I'm glad to meet you.
I'm sure.
Gee, Lady Revere. You know, you don't look like a lady at all.
Thank you. And you'd better not tell me what you think I do look like, or I'll stick a hat pin into your ear and twang it.
Oh, excuse me.
Now, which way are the wedding gifts?
Hey, that way.
Thank you. Well, there's Eddie. He's coming right over here like a bee heading for sugar.
May I help you?
Oh, well, that's thoughtfully decent of you, really, it is. I merely wanted to rummage through the wedding gifts, don't you know?
Go right ahead. Nice day, isn't it?
Possibly, if you happen to like nice days. Personally, I loathe them. Well, some very tired-looking gifts, I must say.
My name's Eddie Jordan.
Bully for you. Good heavens, there's not a single gold pitcher here. It's all silver. How utterly revolting.
I don't believe I've met you. What's your name, beautiful?
Lady Maitfield. But you can call me Your Grace.
And you can call me Your Eddie. Get it? It's sort of a joke.
Yes.
Look, beautiful, let you and me wander into the next room. There's nobody there, and we can chat.
Oh, you are a smasher, aren't you? But very well.
Lady Maysfield, you're an English deep freeze that needs a little defrosting. I'm just the boy who can do it.
But tell me, Edward, don't you have an American girlfriend?
Who, me? No.
Oh, well, surely there must be some girl who's interested in a charming and cultured chap like you.
Oh, sure, sure. Lots of girls are crazy about me. But you know they bore me.
Ah, oh, most interesting. Isn't there one girl that you like better than the other?
Well, there is a girl. Her name is Maisie.
What's so amusing?
Oh, she's such a funny-looking character. Her nose is a scream.
Really?
It's turned up from being pressed against jewelry store windows. And stupid? Oh, brother. Just thinking about it doubles me up.
Well, I'll straighten you right out, Eddie Jordan.
Maisie.
So I'm stupid, huh? And I've got a funny nose, huh? Well, I'm going to take your ears and reverse them.
Now, wait a minute, Maisie. I knew it was you all the time.
I don't believe you.
You've got to believe me, Maisie. You've just got to.
Why?
Look, darling, you might be able to fool me by wearing a full-length veil. But this stuff over your face is no disguise at all. Not to me, it isn't.
Oh. You mean it, Eddie?
Sure.
Jordan! Where are you, Jordan?
Put the veil back down. Here comes Mr. Potter. I'm right in here, Mr. Potter.
Why aren't you watching the presents? Oh, hello, Maisie.
Some disguise.
What are you doing here?
Oh, well, hello, Mr. Potter. I was just checking to make sure that everything was going all right.
That's just peachy. Just peachy. While you and Jordan were in here, somebody has taken the big antique silver tray.
The silver tray?
It's gone all right, Mr. Potter. It just isn't there.
Everything was going fine until you got here, Maisie.
Yes, but
I... That antique silver tray is worth $1,500. And if it isn't recovered today, you two can spend the rest of your lives paying it off.
Oh... I wish I were dead.
If you don't find the tray, I'll help you get your wish.
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment.
Don't worry, Eddie. I'll find out if I have to frisk everybody in this place.
You'd better.
Would you like to start frisking me?
Tell me something, Sherlock. Are you true or false?
Ah, gee. She's cute. She's got lots of character. And that ain't all. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Well, you can have
her. Oh, thanks, Eddie. It's mighty nice of you to turn the little dish over to me.
Well, get those grubby donut snatchers off me. I'll see you later, Eddie.
You'll see me later, too, honey.
Gee, I've really done it this time. How could I be so stupid? Well, I guess it isn't hard when you put your mind to it. Oh, there's a woman. There's a silver tray behind her chair. Well, hello.
I beg your pardon. Were you talking to me?
Yes, I was. I just said hello.
I see. Well, you'll have to pardon me. I don't have my glasses, and I can't see a thing. Are you anybody I know?
I don't think so. Are you anybody I know?
I rather hope not. I do wish I had my glasses. If I don't have my glasses, I can tell who it is I dislike.
Who it is that you like, too.
I never like anybody.
Well, that's a nice philosophy. Why don't you get yourself an extra pair of glasses?
I have 3 pair now. 1 for outside, 1 pair for inside, and the 3rd for looking for the first 2.
I notice there's a silver tray behind your chair.
I shouldn't be a bit surprised. I put it there.
Aha!
At whom are you ah-haing, may I ask?
At whom? At you-um, that's whom. If you'll pardon me, I'll just take this tray and put it back where it belongs.
Leave that tray where it is.
I'm sorry, but it's got to go back. It was naughty of you to bring it here in the first place. Hey, let go of it.
Well, I won't. You let go.
Who are you, anyway?
Who are you?
I asked you first. Come on, let go.
Help! Somebody! Help me! Somebody is trying to steal one of the trays.
Yes,
what's going on here?
Here's a missing tray, Eddie.
That's not it, Maisie.
What happened? Oh, this isn't the tray. This is the one Grandmother Potter gave me years ago.
I've been showing it to one of the guests.
This lady had it stashed behind one of the chairs.
Maisie, this is Mrs. Potter.
Holy smoke. This is no lady. This is his wife. Who is it? Oh, it's you, Harry.
Yeah.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
Eddie got me into this room, and before I realized what he was doing, he handcuffed me to the radiator.
Well, well, you're sort of helpless, aren't you, doll?
Yeah. Get me loose, will you?
What for? If I unlock the cuffs, then you go away. I've never been this close to such a luscious little dish before.
Now, please, Harry, be a good boy.
Who wants to be a good boy at a time like this? Ah, the smell of your perfume is intoxicating. Boy, I just had a double.
Well, wear it in good health and unlock this bracelet.
And if I hold on to this hand, that leaves me one free hand, and you can't slap me in the face with the other, can you? Ooh, come closer, cutie.
Harry, this isn't fair.
Fair schmear. I'm human, ain't I?
Just barely. Let go of me. Now, you better go downstairs. There might be another robbery.
There's going to be a little stealing going on up here, too.
Well,
Now, come on. Are you going to give me a little kiss, or shall I wrestle it away from you?
Oh, all right. I'll give you a kiss. Here.
That was a kiss? All you did was make like a hiccup with your lips.
Well, what'd you expect me to do? Set you on fire or something?
Yeah, that's the idea. Shall we try it again?
You do, and I'll bite your nose off.
Okay. I guess I'm just not your type.
Nah.
Hey, Harry, what are you been doing?
Oh, just investigating.
Eddie, please, take these handcuffs off me.
Nothing doing. You've caused me enough trouble already. Mr. Potzer is sore at me, and what's worse, Mrs. Potzer is sore at Mr. Potzer.
Okay, both you cow wrestlers, reach for the sky. I got you covered.
Oh, go shoot yourself, will you, Junior?
Okay, you asked for it.
Ouch! Holy Pete, he's got a BB pistol.
Good work, Hoppy. Shoot him again, partner.
Okay.
I'll get him.
Ouch!
Come here, you little bandit.
Oh, please, Eddie. I know if you let me loose, I can find out who swiped that antique silver tray.
Sure. Probably your next suspect will be the bride.
Eddie, don't I mean anything to you anymore?
Sure you do, Maisie. Nothing but trouble.
Eddie.
Yeah?
Come here, you handsome devil.
Uh-uh.
Come here and put your arms around me and tell me you forgive me for getting you in so much trouble.
Well,
just kiss me and tell me you forgive me.
Well, I guess it's the least I can do.
It's the most you can do, too.
Oh, you are a gorgeous thing, honey. Don't bother rattling it. I'm not going to unlock you.
Oh, you're so strong and good-looking and masterful.
Yeah, I guess I am.
How about that kiss?
Okay.
There. That should have curled your toes a little.
Ah, it was heaven.
Reach for the skirt, partner!
Oh!
Bullseye!
Wait till I get my hands on that little brat. I'll tell you if this brat till I catch on fire!
Gee, Eddie never realized I took the handcuff keys out of his pocket. I guess when a man's busy being masculine and a girl's telling him how wonderful he is, you could set off a bomb in his pocket and he'd never notice it. There. Eddie, darling.
Yeah?
Come here a minute and give me just one more kiss.
Oh, they can't resist me. Okay, you lucky girl. Lock her up.
Put your arms around me and...
Maisie! Maisie, get me loose. Get these handcuffs off me or I'll break every bone in your body. Please, honey.
Now, don't go away, Eddie. I'm going to find Hopalong Potzer and tell him that he can find a permanent target. Oh, sure. Hi, Hopalong.
Are you having any fun at this reception or whatever it is?
Partner, your old pal Tex Rivera's been ambushed, massacred, and staked out on an anthill. I've had the exact opposite of a good time. How about you?
Well, I've had a little fun with my BB gun. Did you notice a big lady in a purple dress?
Yeah, I had a short conversation with her. I said, hello, it's a nice day, and she said,
Did you notice she hasn't been sitting down lately?
Hoppy, you haven't been sending any of the guests to the last roundup with that BB gun, have you?
No, can't even bother some of them. You know, I think they're wearing armor plate right where they make the best target.
Well, maybe you can dimple them to death.
Yeah!
You know, I promise you I'd play that game with you, whatever it was, but I've got to do a little detective work right now. Maybe you could help me.
Oh, sure. I'm through with the game anyway.
That's good. What was it?
You won't tell anybody.
Of course not, partner.
Okay, Tex. I stole the silver bullion from the bad guys and hid it in the old mine shaft.
Well, that seems like it. Just a minute, Hoppy. Who are the bad guys?
Oh, everybody. Except you, of course.
Oh, well, I'll tell you something, Hoppy. I think you got on the wrong side by mistake. And if we don't restore that silver bullion back to its rightful owners, your pal, Texas Revere, may get lynched by her boyfriend.
Well, this rips it. Not only do you let some thief run off with a valuable silver tray right under your nose, but you get yourself handcuffed to the radiator.
I'm sorry, Mr. Potzer, but if you'll get a hacksaw and cut the radiator right here...
Nothing doing. Cut the handcuffs.
They're hardened steel. They won't cut.
Well, then you can stay here indefinitely and starve to death for all I care. I wonder what the archaeologists will say when they dig you up 1,000 years from now.
I just checked over all the guests, Mr. Potts, and the tray just isn't here.
Oh, what's your theory, Harrigan?
A theory? Oh, yeah, theory. Well, I think it's an inside job. I think Jordan did it.
I took it.
There, he just confessed.
You're out of your mind. You're talking like an idiot.
I got to talk so you can understand me. Why don't you call the police, Mr. Potzer? I don't want to question him just now. I questioned a suspect last week and my knuckles are just healing.
Hold everything, I got the tray.
That's it. Who had it? Where did you find it? You got here just in time.
Where was it?
Well, it was tied onto the end of the rope that goes down in the well, Mr. Potzer.
Well, how in the world did it get there?
Well, that's a secret between me and a certain gentleman of the old West. The secret will go with me to the grave.
Reach for the sky, you sheep herders, or I'll fill your full of daylight.
Junior, it was you.
Well, I gotta be moseying along. Goodbye.
Junior, come back here.
Oh, thanks, Maisie. Now, unhook me from these handcuffs, will you?
Eddie, do you still love me?
Of course I do.
Will you always love me no matter what happens?
Certainly.
Well, I tucked the key away in here, and when I leaned over the well, it fell into the water.
Oh, no!
In just a moment, we shall return to the adventures of Maisie. Once again, here's Maisie.
Well, poor Eddie. We finally called a plumber who unscrewed the pipe and got him loose. Eddie got paid his $20 all right, and he was very happy about it. Except that the plumber's bill, what with overtime and so forth, was $18.53. He didn't speak to me all the way home. Then we went into the parlor to have a good fight. But just then the electricity went out in our section of Brooklyn and there was nothing else for us to do but sit on the davenport and forgive each other. So we wouldn't waste the darkness. Well, it's been a busy day. Come on, feet. Take poor little Maisie upstairs to bed.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie was written... written by John L. Green. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Elvia Allman, Pat McGeehan, Virginia Gregg, Jeffrey Silver, Peter Leeds, and Hi Everback. Jack McCoy speaking.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.